Now, before we get to your calls, I'd like to talk about some news you can use. First of all, from the World Journal of Men's Health, a link has been discovered between obstructive sleep apnea and testosterone deficiency. Now, we know sleep apnea is associated with intermittent lack of oxygenation during sleep, which can break up your sleep, sometimes called sleep fragmentation. We also know sleep apnea occurs more in men than in women, and especially in middle-aged men over 40. So it does make sense that sleep apnea has been confirmed to be associated with testosterone deficiency and also obesity and aging in general. So if you're a guy over 40 or 50 diagnosed with sleep apnea, chances are high you also have low testosterone levels. Whether taking testosterone negates the need for a CPAP machine has yet to be proven, of course. But for sleep apnea, I also recommend food sensitivity testing to help decongest the airway, as I have seen many patients who improved or eliminated their sleep apnea by discontinuing intake of their food sensitivities, especially dairy products. And also, according to the 2017 European Academy of Allergy and Clinical Immunology Task Force report, allergic rhinitis, also known as nasal congestion, is not only associated with obstructive sleep apnea, but also asthma, eczema, food allergies, conjunctivitis, chronic middle ear infections, sinus infections, tonsillar enlargement, and disordered sleep patterns. And next up, did you know that taking a statin medication to lower your cholesterol has been linked to a higher risk of developing type 2 diabetes? We knew this has been a link for many years, but a recent research from the British Journal of Clinical Pharmacology studied over 9,500 people. They were all over 45 years old. They were studied for up to 15 years, and they found that individuals who had ever taken a statin in their life were 38% more likely to develop type 2 diabetes, have higher fasting insulin, and greater insulin resistance. And in another analysis of 20 separate randomized controlled studies, it was revealed an overall 44% increase in new onset diabetes compared to people not taking statins. It was also found that rosuvastatin yielded a particular higher risk, a 61% greater risk, compared to simvastatin at 38%. There are alternatives to cholesterol-lowering medications, so be sure to see your physician who is skilled and knowledgeable about natural medicine to help prevent the need for any medications, including statins. And next, are you a postmenopausal woman who struggles with weight gain? Did you know estrogen deficiency is considered to be the main cause of increased appetite and increased weight gain in postmenopausal women? What is also interesting is that this type of weight gain is also associated with lower melatonin production, higher FSH level, also known as follicle-stimulating hormone. We know FSH rises during menopause to stimulate the ovaries to make more estrogen, but according to the International Journal of Molecular Science, the rise in FSH also correlates to a rise in weight and body mass for women. This is just another reason to monitor your hormones throughout the menopause transition, and what better clinic to support your needs than Dr. Jonathan Wright's Tahoma Clinic. Dr. Wright, of course, is known as the grandfather of bioidentical hormone replacement, and the world-famous Tahoma Clinic physicians are experts on all your hormone needs. And next, many of us would like to know whether we are low in tissue iodine levels. So what's the best way to really check your need for iodine? There is some confusion about iodine and how it affects your thyroid. I find many patients think that the more iodine you take, the more thyroid hormone you'll make. But this isn't the case. In fact, high doses of iodine have been used to suppress the thyroid, especially in Graves' disease and other forms of hyperthyroidism. One way to analyze your iodine level is to check a hair sample, which gives you levels of many toxic and essential minerals, and this is specifically accurate for the last 3 to 4 months in your life. A blood serum iodine level, which many conventional doctors perform, unfortunately is not a good indicator of total tissue iodine levels, as it doesn't reflect where the iodine is needed the most. And blood levels don't necessarily equate to adequate tissue and thyroid levels. Now we have a blood test to monitor how low iodine may be affecting your thyroid directly. A simple blood test called thyroglobulin has a direct correlation to iodine deficiency and how that deficiency is affecting thyroid function. Typically, a thyroglobulin level over 13 indicates a need for more iodine and can easily be monitored through a blood test. So again, that's thyroglobulin, thyroglobulin. And lastly, here's a good question. What is the healthiest diet in the world? So this is being debated by many physicians, many naturopathic docs, and also including nutritionists, conventional doctors, weight loss experts, exercise physiologists, and yes, even your Uncle Fred, who lost 80 pounds on his burger diet. Unfortunately, there is no one diet that works for everyone at every point in their life. Some diets become close, but let's be realistic. If we want to lose weight quickly, we might try a ketogenic diet. But will we stick to it? Chances are slim to none. If we have diabetes, we might try a paleo approach. But again, can we stick to it over the long run? Once you've lost the weight or normalized your blood sugar, what is the healthiest diet over the long run? Well, every year, nutritionists, diabetic specialists, heart doctors, human behavior, and weight loss experts come together to debate food and grill each other about their favorite diet. Did you catch that, grill each other? Anyway, the 2019 results are in. By the way, no naturopathic physicians were on the panel, unfortunately. That being said, there were 41 individual diets ranked according to different criteria, and I want to give you the results. The best diabetic diet, number one, was Mediterranean diet. Tied for second was the DASH diet. That stands for Dietary Approach to Stop Hypertension. And also the Flexitarian diet, which is sort of a vegetarian, once in a while having fish on your menu also. So number one was Mediterranean for the diabetic diet, best diabetic diet. The best weight loss diet was something called Volumetrics diet, which works on food energy density categories to fight hunger and lose weight. The best commercial weight loss diet was considered Weight Watchers, followed by the Jenny Craig diet. They had another category called the best fast weight loss diet, and that was something called HMR diet, or Health Management Resource diet. I don't know much about some of these diets. The best heart healthy diet, again, Mediterranean diet, tied with the Ornish diet, which is a very low fat diet. And the best overall diet, drum roll please, Mediterranean diet, once again, followed by the DASH diet, and thirdly, the Flexitarian diet. So these were considered the best overall health and longevity diets. The MIND diet is also gaining popularity as it focuses on Alzheimer's and dementia prevention, and this is predicted to likely rise in the rankings over the next year. Interestingly, the Mediterranean diet ranked number one in best overall, best diabetic diet, best diet for healthy eating, best heart healthy diet, best plant-based diet, and number one in easiest diet to follow. I went to a medical conference last year, and a geneticist was speaking about the attributes of the Mediterranean diet, saying it was the closest diet that fit the human genome requirement for health and longevity. So I thought that was significant. Now, tied for the worst diet, according to the group, was the ketogenic diet and Whole30 diet. Complaints against the ketogenic diet include fatigue, excessive thirst, constipation, not to mention difficulty in continuing it long term. The Zone diet was ranked 23 out of 41. The Paleo diet was ranked 33 out of 41. primarily because of the high protein levels and difficulty in continuing it long term. I do have to say the ketogenic diet can be a powerful anti-cancer diet, but the group really didn't have a category for cancer on that. So that's the news you can use. Hopefully that was helpful for you.